You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Woo, 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 woo. Mace is on Comrex today. Ireland here in studio. How was your weekend, guys? Good weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I got the coughs all weekend, so I've been hacking away, and I thought, I don't feel bad, I don't feel sick, but I'm coughing, I didn't want to come in today, so I'm at home in my wrecked studio that's under being remodeled right now. But other than that, Rams won, it was a great weekend.
Right?
Remodeled, your apartment is the size of a refrigerator box. How can you remodel anything?
I live in a house, I've got a studio, a broadcast, I'm redoing the entire studio right now.
You're rebuilding a home studio.
Yeah, a home studio. Exactly.
Other than the technical aspects to make it sound good, what do you put in there? Like, do you make it homey? Do you make it sportsy? What do you do?
We've got a blue screen back here for stuff like that. I've got all sorts of memorabilia and stuff that I've gotten over the years. Some nice furniture that I got for my family. I mean, it's a nice spot. It's a nice spot.
Mace,
I get to do a bunch of my shows from here.
How big is the team? I mean, you have a team of contractors. There's a foreman outside, the whole thing.
11 people here. They've taken the afternoon off. Yep. That's what it takes to get one of my studios ready. No, we're just in the process.
This could be an interesting, like, portal to another Mason, I'm thinking. Because, Mace, you are similar to me. That you like to be here in the studio. Right?
Yes, I do. I don't love
working remotely.
We just talked about that, in fact.
We did. But if you get the setup the way that you want it, with your propensity for time off, this could be a whole new era for you.
No, here's the thing. I get, like, today, the only reason I'm doing the show from home is because I've got a cough and I don't want to hack on everybody. But I don't get the same thing doing the show from home that I get from to see Brian, I like to see Bergman, I like to see Ireland, I like to look at the people that I'm talking to, as opposed to just talking to a blank wall, which is what I'm going to do.
You're today. The opposite, John, right?
100%.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to come in, I would
never see you again.
Yeah. Same with Michael, by the way. Michael's the exact same way. If we set him up with a home studio, he would never set foot in this building.
We would hear you every day. We just want to see you.
And there are some people in this industry that, like, Tony Kornheiser has not left his house for 5 years. He hasn't been.
No, I can't do that.
I can't. That's not the way I've learned to do radio over the years.
Not a chance. Okay, I got a scenario for you guys.
Okay.
First quarter, wild card weekend in Detroit. Okay. Rams score a touchdown.
Yes.
Go ahead. 6-0.
I like it.
You kick it or you go for two?
No. You got to give Brett Maher a chance.
You did yesterday.
We did. We gave him a chance yesterday.
And he made one out of two.
And the one that went in barely went in.
Barely went in.
Now, having said this, I would not put Brett Maher on the postseason roster. I would go get another kicker.
Okay.
But who do you get? Don't you think they've exhausted every possible?
Obviously not.
At this point?
I think if there were something readily available that they thought was better or at least different, they would have done it by now.
You're telling me that on planet Earth, there is no one more qualified than Brett Maher to have that job.
I'm not telling you that, John. Sean McVay and Les Snead are telling you that.
Correct. Because that's what I was going to say. Les Snead and Sean McVay, I'm sure, have left no stone unturned in trying to find a kicker. They were close on Mason. Ultimately, they circled back around to the guy they thought gave them the best chance. I mean, it's scary as hell every time he lines one up, but I got to believe he's better than Robbie Gould, whoever's out there. Otherwise, Sean McVay, being one of the smartest guys in the league, would have done it.
John, I'm with you.
By the way, I disagree with everything Mason just said. I mean, how can you say that Robbie Gould isn't as good as Brett
Maher?
How can
you say that Sean McVay doesn't want the best possible kicker on the field?
Because he has Brett Maher as his kicker.
You wouldn't think Sean McVay wants to come down to a last-second field goal and mess with Brett Maher when there's somebody better out there?
I'm with you. First of all, we don't know that Robbie Gould wants to be on a team.
That is fair.
We don't know that Robbie Gould wants to be a Ram, right? There could be extenuating circumstances where they picked up the phone and called an ass and it didn't work out. I think the overall idea of that they're okay with this is not true. They just can't find a better solution, that they're stuck with this. Not that they've chose this, but that this is kind of where they are. If you're talking about go find a soccer player somewhere and just say, give him the job, okay. But they obviously feel that's not a better way to go about it, or I think they would do it.
Then they're being closed-minded and wrong, and I'll give you an example of why. This kid, Autry, for the Cowboys, who missed one field goal
soccer
the whole
player.
Year, was the place kicker for the Birmingham Stallions mm-hmm. of the, what is it, the XFL or the USFL?
They combined, so I don't know which version right. of that he was in.
So, I mean, are you telling me they've brought in every kicker from the USFL and the XFL and auditioned them?
What I'm telling you is they know more about it than we do.
Well, then, if Brett Maher is the best they could come up with, I mean, unless Smeed's a really good GM, there's something going on that they're not telling us.
By the way, among the people that they have tried, and there's a long list of people they tried, somebody named Randy Bullock, who's a kicker. They tried Mason Crosby. They tried a guy named Tucker McCann, who
Bullock used to kick for the Texans. I remember that
and
name.
And I think
Austin,
yeah.
Austin Siebert, who used to kick for the Browns,
well.
Matthew Wright, who used to kick for the Steelers. There's like a long list of guys that they have auditioned and circled back around to.
Mace, in that situation, do you kick it? Or let me ask you two ways. What do you do? What do you think Sean McVay does? Because I feel like they've gotten to the point where, all right, unless we have no other choice, we're going to run a play.
I say if it's the start of the game, opening drive, yep. I think you kick it.
I do too.
John, I'm with you. I say kick it in the beginning. Trav is talking about, you already seen enough. Why am I letting him kick it?
How many more do you have to see him miss?
I think early in the game is
well,
when
Trav,
you're giving this guy the
shot. Well, Trav, if that's your
position,
then Brett Maher absolutely should not be on the roster. If, yep. if he's on the roster and you're not going to play him,
then why have him
then
on
Then why have him
on?
Because
why get him take up a roster
Because I
spot?
Do think there are a couple scenarios where you don't have a choice. I think to go for in the situation that I'm laying out before you guys, early in the game, yep. right, first touchdown of the day, and there's tons of time left, you're – Brett Maher has almost become a 50-50 proposition as a PAT guy, and going for two is basically a 50-50 proposition. I'm going to trust Matthew Stafford more than Maher. But let's say it's fourth and 10, there's 20 seconds left in the game, you're down by two and you're on the 25-yard line, you have to kick it at that point.
Right.
So he has to be on the roster. I just don't know how much you use him.
Well, and sadly, the end of the game is where you absolutely must use him. If it comes down to a game-winning field goal, and that is going to be the scariest thing in the world.
Use him early.
Damn
Use
right.
him early.
Damn
Use him
right.
early, see if you got anything, and maybe he's, you know, builds a little momentum and go from there.
Yeah. By the way, and if he gets into a little groove at the beginning, then maybe you feel a little
he
better about
He missed five
it.
PATs in a row in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but he nailed that sixth one.
If you're a Ram fan, is that this guy is working 16 hours a day to work through whatever it was that got him into the league in the first place. Because based on what we saw against the Niners, he's not ready.
Although it's weird. Tell and Cappy would be good for this, but how much of kicking is between the ears?
More than half.
Yeah.
More than half.
See, that's what I think the problem is. And I noticed it yesterday, the San Francisco kicker. What's that kid's name?
Jake Moody.
Missed the one and then missed the second because he was in a bad
headspace. And he's a good kicker.
And he's an excellent kicker. That was the first field goal he missed all year.
So
sometimes it's between the ears. It's not just technically the way you are striking the football.
I don't know if this is like apples to apples or not, but it's almost like the guy that's the bad free throw shooter. You can go work on it all you want and put in all the time, and then you get to the line in the game.
No, but there's a difference.
That thing looks like a thimble.
There's a difference. If Shaq was not asked to – you're not – Shaq was Shaq. It had nothing to do with free throws. That was a part of the game that he had no choice to avoid. These field goal kickers are literally only on the field to kick field goals and extra points.
What about Carson Wentz? So here's my other thing that I think was kind of cracked open yesterday. Because he was so good running, they ran him 17 times yesterday.
Yes.
And he's like 6'5", he's 240, he's a big, strong guy. Fourth and one. And if you're not going to kick, if you've decided that this is a position where you go, do you bring him in on those short
plays? Oh, that's an interesting call.
To kind of use that because it brings an element to the team that you don't have with Matthew Stafford.
And you're not risking Matthew Stafford to play. You got to call McVay with that one.
You guys talking to him this week?
New Orleans does that, right? They take Derek Carr out.
Taysom Hill. They bring him in.
Taysom Hill in in those situations.
I think that's a great call. Yeah.
Okay, so how far back do you push it? I mean, at fourth and one, okay, fourth and two, are you taking one of the best quarterbacks in the league off the field? That doesn't seem like a good idea.
If you're definitely not going to throw, what's the problem?
Yeah, I don't know. I would be very reluctant to take number nine off the field. The mic sucks, Chris.
Yeah.
I don't know the numbers. That one is not working. I'm just telling you, it's not working out. You can have my spot. You want it?
I had to call in for the second hour.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with this mic?
Just don't use that mic.
Oh, this one is good.
Yeah.
What brings you in?
Travis, we're solutions oriented. You don't just say, oh, this mic sucks.
Yeah.
Well, that ultimately.
That mic does suck.
I know, that's like LeBron Friday night.
I know you think there's this magical person that has to deal with it.
Is it you?
Yeah.
Well, get that mic fixed because that mic sucks.
Okay. I come in today because, you know, there's so much going on with the Rams and the Lakers national championship. It's a Celsius championship Monday that I almost forgot to tell you. We got to give away some Genesis Invitational tickets today.
Let's go.
So you win, if you're caller number 7, you get a pair of tickets to the Genesis Invitational, and you're qualified to play in the Dream Foursome on Monday, January 22nd at Riv with Travis Rogers, myself, maybe Tommy Lamb, who knows? Caller number 7 right now, 877-710-ESPN. Of course, Tiger's Tournament, Nike-less Tiger.
Right?
Yeah.
He's starting his own brand, right, John?
Yes. Has wanted to for a long time.
Oh, that's why he left Nike's.
Yeah. By the way, rumor is Kobe was going to do that too before he died. Was going to branch off, start
like
his own
similar
brand.
To Jordan, like under a larger company or totally separate.
Totally separate.
Okay. Wow.
Will it be called El Tigre?
I like that.
That was a bit once on
Eldrick
the show.
Inc.
Clothes we used to wear when we used to go to Macy's and JCPenney.
Yeah, instead of the alligator, you had the tiger, Le Tigre.
And the quote under the tiger is, sorry, champ.
Why did I think Nautica was like Fendi or something?
Anyway, the Genesis Invitational Tigers Tournament plays February 15th through the 18th at the greatest place in the world. This is the one thing that keeps me sane all year, the Genesis Invitational. So caller number 7 right now. And we've got stuff. We got tickets to give away all week long. This mic sounds very compressed.
It does.
But that's okay. It's radio. Now, what's wrong with this mic? Let me see.
I don't know. Let's see.
Try that.
Try it out.
Hold on.
Checking.
The Genesis. Yeah, there's not a lot of oomph. And we changed out the processor. Maybe it's the cable.
Yeah, no, that sounds crappy.
Go back to the other one.
Is this Michael's mic?
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
Sounds bad.
Yeah, live engineering session.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. I'm at home today.
That seems to be a problem, John.
Super crosstalk. Live engineering.
Caller numbers, do we have caller number 7 yet? Yeah. Somebody's going to be qualified.
I don't know.
This is like your Super Nintendo didn't work. Let's just turn
it off. Blow in the cartridge. Absolutely.
We are making the Cappy Cast look major market ready.
Riviera, the best golf course in L.A.? I don't think there's any question for me. It's my favorite spot of all the sports venues we have here. That is it. There's the Rose Bowl. There's SoFi, Dodger Stadium. There's a million of them. That's my favorite.
It's either that, LACC, or Bel Air. One of those three is pretty good, too. Yeah, one of those three.
Bel Air's pretty good when you sit in that bar and have the cocktails afterwards.
Why am I not surprised that the Bel Air golf course is nice?
Yeah, go figure, right? Mm. Pretty nice
spot. I think Jerry West still holds the record for one of the nines there.
I played golf with him one time there. It was quite an adventure.
Did you hear the F word more than once?
More than once.
Yeah.
Yep.
More than once. He's a competitive guy. I don't know if you know that about him or not.
I was walking through a golf tournament once, and I was in the parking lot, and I was walking into the after the round party.
Okay.
And Jerry was there. He goes, hey, hang on a minute. I'll walk in with you. I go, okay. He said, how'd you do out there? I go, I did pretty good for me. I shot 80. He goes, how'd you do? He goes, effing 71. Yeah. And I'm like 71, like one under, and he's like, yeah, I should have been a 68. Like he is as competitive as you get.
Well, remember we did the Lakers golf tournament out there one year, and Jerry was one of the players, and we had heard that he had a hole in one at some point during the course, and he came up. We were like, hey, Jerry, congratulations on the hole in one. And he said, yeah, I missed that effing putt at 17. It was like couldn't even enjoy the fact that he had a hole in one.
Would you enjoy an ace, Chris, or would you find something to not be pleased about?
This one's a little bit better. Different mic, but I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's not as good as that one.
The other one's better.
We might have to rip up this thing.
Yeah, no, that one's no good.
Let's see.
Anyway,
that's much better.
No kidding, guys.
We don't have to fix it right now.
I wouldn't enjoy it.
I don't think you would either. Why not?
I got to witness Tommy do it during the pandemic at Black Gold.
That's right.
And I was really happy for him. But for me, it would be like, it might make me not play golf for the next 6 months.
Why?
Really? Because you've already accomplished a hole in one, so what's the point in going on?
John, how many do you have?
Two.
Two?
Yeah.
Were they spaced apart or were they pretty?
Yeah, no, spaced apart.
Yeah.
My dad lived to be 84, never had one. Had to watch me get one with him, and had to watch my mom get one with him.
No way. Myrna got one?
On his birthday.
Oh, are you kidding God. Me?
With Myrna. With on 17 at the Newport Beach Country Club, which is the one place where everyone can see it.
I know exactly what you
And my mom hit the ball over the lake. It bounced, rolls right
Is your mom a golfer?
She's a 16 handicap.
Oh, my gosh.
So wow. Not bad.
That's really good.
Yeah, for an older woman,
okay.
She would yell
right.
at me if I gave her a hand.
Was your dad secretly pissed?
Oh, not even secretly.
He let it be known.
Yeah. And then I was on a father-son golf trip to Canada on the last day, and I was in the cart with him when I got mine, and then he got the one with my mom, but he never had one. And he played more rounds of golf than either one of us.
My dad's 75, still didn't have one. Yeah. I don't have one. I've played a lot of golf.
Really?
I do.
There's a guy I play with at Mountain Gate who's had seven of them.
Yeah, that's silly.
I'm surprised you don't have one. I would think you got one of those.
I really have never even come super close.
He's not a precision golfer, Slee. Yeah.
No, I'm a decent golfer, but I've never really even come close.
He doesn't have hands like an angel like me. I would precision
well,
with my wedge.
I don't know if I'd say that. My hands are okay. They're like earthbound angel.
Well, there's a certain amount of luck involved. I was playing with Austin Reeves once, and he hit it to literally 1 inch. Hmm. And I went, wow, you must have a bunch of holes in one. He goes, never.
Oh, wow.
I never had one. He goes, I've got a bunch like that that have been very close. But you got to get lucky.
All right. Well, somebody maybe make one with Chris and I when we go out to Riviera coming up here in a couple of weeks. So keep listening. We'll get a chance to give away a bunch of those tickets and a chance to play in the Dream Foursome. Super Crosstalks brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So what's going on, people? It is a, the script is in full effect, John. We've got Matthew Stafford returning to Detroit, Jared Goff versus Sean McVay. We've got Mike McCarthy versus Green. It's like everything fell into place, and the NFL script has been very well written this year. What do you think?
Well, I can't wait for that game on Sunday night.
Oh, my God.
I think Matthew Stafford going back to Detroit is his wife just posted a 9-minute thank you video to Detroit that Stafford sent when he was traded to the Rams. She just sent it out again.
Yep.
And it's going to be highly emotional for him.
Right. And they're going to tear the Lions' hearts out.
Well, I think the Lions are favored by
2.5, 3
last time I looked.
Did you see 3? Okay.
It opened up at 2.5. And then it moved to 3. I think the line, but you get 3 points for being the home team, which basically means this is a coin flip. But I think it's a great matchup for the Rams. Oh,
Such a good matchup. And for, you know, and I said from the beginning of the year, I thought the Rams had a shot to make the playoffs. I think I tagged them for 9 games at one point. And they wind up with 10 wins. 10 wins. And if you go back and you think, had they had a kicker, they would have beaten Pittsburgh. They damn near beat Cincinnati. I mean, they are very close to being one of the top teams in the NFC, and certainly they finished the year as one of the top teams in the NFC. And as everybody says, you know, like I was watching the Get Up today, John, nobody wants to play the Rams right now.
Right, and that doesn't mean the Lions won't win. They could, and they're going to be at home, and they've had a great season. But for Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford, this has got to be incredibly emotional and weird, where, you know, they're friends with half the guys on the other team.
Yeah.
So,
and one guy got traded for the other guy?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of unprecedented in terms of matchups. I can't think of any storyline that's quite like
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm
trying
to remember,
right?
Where two quarterbacks got traded for each other, and now they're playing against each other with a chance to move on.
Crazy. So we got that. I mean, this is a monster week. Today's National Championship Day. We'll do some Lakers. Actually, let's start Lakers, then let's go National Championship.
Okay.
John, I was encouraged. Obviously, Friday night was just a you-know-what show for the Lakers.
Yep.
disaster against the Memphis Grizzlies. And at that point, I just went on the assumption that, of course, they're going to get blown out yesterday to the Clippers. And in fact, they went out. They played very, very hard. They played really good defense. They held the Clippers to under 40% shooting, I think, from the field.
They did.
41% shooting from the field. They shot the three ball pretty well. LeBron and AD did all the stuff that we've come accustomed to this year, LeBron and AD doing, and the supporting cast rose up, and they were able to get a win yesterday.
Well, and this is what's so tantalizing about the Lakers, is that every once in a while they show you what they're capable of. Like they did with the in-season tournament, like they did on their run to the Final Four last year, like they did last night. So we know it's in there somewhere. It's just a matter of them getting doing it consistently. And obviously when they're 4-10 in their last 14 games, they're not doing it consistently. But the Clippers were the hottest team in the league. They'd won 14 out of 16. Kawhi has been unbelievable, and they just locked him up.
Yeah.
And so this is why. Now, here comes Toronto tomorrow night in a game that the Lakers will be favored in and should win, but Toronto just beat up Golden State last night.
Right.
So, and then Phoenix coming in Thursday, the Lakers have already beaten them three times. So, you know, they're going to be mad. So
yeah, I mean, it's not excuse, right? I mean, January is make or break for this team. Are they going to be a team that finishes top six, or are they going to be a team that finishes, you know, scrambling around for the 10th seed in the play-in tournament? They're 1-2 so far in January. 8 of their next 9 are at Crypto. No back-to-backs. One quick trip to Utah. I think that's on Saturday is that game. But to me, they have to go at a bare minimum 5-4 over the next 9. A bare minimum. That would put them at 500 after January.
Yeah, I've got higher hopes than you do.
I said they have to be a bare minimum. I expect more, but a bare minimum.
You know, because of those 9 games, 8 of them are at home.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I'm thinking 5-3, 6-2, 7-1. I mean, obviously I'm getting greedy, but what's so frustrating is which Laker team's going to show up. The one that played bad against Memphis on Friday or the one that played great last night. You just don't know.
Yeah,
but I think it's going to determine what Rob does with the roster. I know you feel differently, but I don't believe the Darvin Ham is on the hot seat narrative.
I do.
I know you do, and most people do. And maybe, and let me say this, I may be too close to it.
Right.
Because I'm over there and I see how hard those guys are working, and I see the dynamic between Darvin and the front office, and I know they like each other. And maybe I'm just blind to the fact that changes could be coming. I just don't buy it.
And I think it takes a bad month for changes to become. Like, there were some people that said, well, if they lose to the Clippers, it's over. I think it was going to take deeper into the month. I mean, I think you got to the end of month to figure out, are we real? Are we not real? Does LeBron pull the plug on Dar? I mean, all this stuff, I think, is real and in play. But the one good sign about yesterday, to me, is that if there was ever a time when a team had thrown in the towel, and we're going to roll over and play dead. Yesterday would have been the time for the Lakers, but I think they played for Darvin Ham. I think they played really hard. I think they played defense. I think they played a physical and grinding kind of game, and they were able to do it. And if they didn't believe in Darvin, I don't think they would have.
Hey, let me ask you guys something about the end of the game last night. And you guys told me, but maybe I'm overthinking this, but I don't think I am. All right, Austin Reeves goes to the line for 2 free throws. The Lakers are up by 2. He misses. There's 4 seconds left. He misses the first one. All right, so now you know the Clippers are going to have a chance to tie with a 3-pointer, but he still has to make the second one. Clippers have no timeouts. He makes the second one, so it's 106-103. They have 4 seconds. The Lakers had a foul to give. So in my mind, Mace, as soon as the Clippers inbound the ball in the backcourt, you wrap them up. Make them take it out again. That'll run 1 or 2 seconds off the clock. Mm-hmm. Then when they bring it in again, foul them again. Then with 2 seconds left, they only get 2 free throws. Even if they make them both, the game's over. And you win by 1. Instead, the Lakers just played it out. And Norman Powell
that 3, yeah,
drove up the right side. Austin Reeves was right on him, did a good job of playing defense without fouling. And when I don't know if you guys saw this play. When I say this went in and out, I mean it was all the way inside the cylinder. and it rimmed out and the Lakers won. So because they won, does that mean I'm wrong that they shouldn't have fouled?
No. No. I mean, it sounds like, and you've talked about this before on the show, that this is – I don't understand why they don't do it. You explain it in such a sensible and logical way, and yet players, coaches, I assume, aren't seeing it the way you're seeing it. It makes perfect sense the way you line it up. Is that a Darvin thing? Is that a players on the floor
No,
thing?
Darvin why does not like to foul. Greg, would you foul there?
Absolutely. Just because you had a foul to give that takes off 2 seconds, it makes most sense. I think the only reason that they may not is because they don't want to allow a three-point shot and a foul.
Right. Well, that and there is video evidence somewhere. Somebody today will send me this now that I've gone on this rant, where you foul, the other team goes down, they make the first shot, so now it's 106-104, and then they miss the second one on purpose and get a clean look closer to the basket when they only need two, and they tie the game that way. But I just think if the three is the only thing that can hurt you, why let them take a three?
Just for the reasons stated.
Yeah, but they got away with it, and they won, and everybody's happy. And let's see what happens tomorrow night. R.J. Barrett had a season-high 37 against the Warriors last night. So that trade seems to be working out for Toronto. So they play Toronto. Then they play Phoenix on Thursday. Then they play Utah on Saturday in Utah. That's the one road game. And then a week from today, Mace, next Monday is when we're going to be at Ralph's for the BB Go giveaway.
Right.
By the way, let me tell you about that. Ralph's and BB Go are giving away a pair of courtside seats to a Laker game. Now, we give away Fifth Row Friday. By the way, doesn't Fifth Row Friday start up again today, Greg?
Yeah, Fifth Row Fridays is back starting today.
Okay. So here's all you got to do to win courtside seats. These are like the ones that Rich Paul and Adele and Jack Nicholson sit in. You go to any Ralph's store. You can come to the one in Redondo Beach where Mason and I are going to be next week. And Sasha Vujicic is going to be with us that day. Derek Fisher is going to be with us that day. All you do is you walk inside, you buy $10 worth of BB Go. $10, that's it. There's other prizes you can win too, including Lakers swag, more BB Go. Just get yourself to a Ralph's, buy BB Go for a chance to win. Now, after you buy it, hang on to your receipt, and then go to Lakers.com/BBGoSweeps. To upload your receipt, and that's it. You're entered. So, Mace, we're encouraging everybody to come see us next week. You can kind of kill two birds with one stone. You come see us, watch the show. They've got tons and tons of BB Go there. You walk in, you spend $10, send your receipt to that site, and you could.
Bam.
Somebody's winning. Somebody's sitting in courtside seats. So that's something we're going to be pounding all week is go to a Ralph's. It's got to be a Ralph's. And you got to buy BB Go in the frozen food section of the supermarket. Once you buy $10 worth of it, send your receipt in and you're entered, and that's it. Easy money for somebody.
Very nice. Very nice. And Fifth Row Fridays, as you mentioned, is back this week. So that means you got to pay attention to absolutely everything we say. Between now and 3 o'clock on this combo plate, there will be one fact, one conversation that will lead you to a correct answer that will be on the quiz Friday at 3:30, and you will be in the fifth row at a Lakers game.
Yeah, so, and by the way, it could be something simple. It could be as simple as, why was Mason not in the studio on Monday? He had a cough.
Yes, a cough.
Or it could be more advanced. It could be something that come up later in the show. So you got to write stuff down and listen to all of it.
Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, Dodgers are continuing to load up. We'll tell you about their new left fielder coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And just got a text from Not Stepdad Leo. He says, BB Go, we've done it. Mom purchased some BB Go the other night, and we love them.
That's what I'm
good
talking
going,
about.
John. Yeah, people love the BB Go.
All right, and if you go to that website, Lakers.com/BBGoSweeps, and put a picture of your receipt in there, then you're entered for the courtside seats.
Yeah. So,
and a bunch of other stuff, too.
So, Ireland, you didn't see. I watched them. They came on at 8 o'clock after the Lakers game, the Golden Globe Awards.
No, I didn't see any of it, but the host, whoever that guy was, is getting pounded. Was he really bad?
He was awful.
Okay. So it's deserved, the pounding he's
now,
taking.
Laura, you're a fan of this guy, right?
Who is it, Laura? What was his name? We can't hear you.
Oh, my God. The microphone's running.
Yeah.
Laura, who is it?
Okay. So Joe Coy, he is a Filipino comedian who I've loved. I've actually met before. He's a great dude. I honestly thought he was going to hit just because I think he's funny. He's been funny every I've seen him live, but it just didn't. Didn't hit at all.
It's a tough needle to thread,
but
those
like
big award shows.
10 days ago, he just got the job. So.
So, Brian, did you get that one clip I pointed out to you?
Yeah, we got it.
Okay, so here is, and his name is Joe
Coy?
Coy, I think.
Joe Coy.
K-O-Y.
Here's a little moment where he does something I was really surprised at. Hit it.
The key moment in Barbie is when she goes from perfect beauty to bad breath, cellulite, and flat feet. Or what casting directors call character actor. Some I wrote, some other people wrote. Robert De Niro's here. Yo, I got the gig 10 days ago. You want a perfect monologue? Yo, shut up. You're kidding me, right? Slow down. I wrote some of these, and they're the ones you're laughing at.
All right, there you go. So he threw the writers under the bus.
Yeah. My guess is after that, either he or the writers will not be back.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what, Margot Robbie last night.
Yeah.
It's impossible that there's a more beautiful woman in the world than Margot Robbie. She's, it's unbelievable. She is so
well,
beautiful.
There is a great line in the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
So Helen Mirren serves as kind of a narrator on that movie.
Yes.
And there's a portion of it where they're trying to make, it was a very empowering female movie. Like it had a message that women are more than just, you know, people to look at. And so somebody in the, maybe it was Margot Robbie, somebody in the cast went, I don't understand why, you know, we have presidents, we have lawyers, we have doctors, and I don't understand what the problem is getting men to take women seriously. We're more than just our looks. And Helen Mirren cuts in and goes, note to producers, hiring Margot Robbie to play this part does not make your point.
The average woman, Margot Robbie.
Right.
Yes. By the way, I missed my my six-leg parlay last night on the Golden Globes.
Oh, you did miss it. I thought I saw you hit a couple of them at least.
I hit a couple of them.
What did you miss on?
I missed on Best Comedy, which turned out to be a movie called Poor Things instead of Barbie. There should
That's
be an
the one that Emma Stone is in, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And Best Actor Drama did not go to Bradley Cooper, who I thought was, if you've not seen that show, John, you should watch Maestro. He's unbelievable.
I heard it's not good.
Who said that?
Bergman, have you seen Maestro?
No, I really don't want to see it either.
Yeah. Why?
Somebody, I can't remember who, but somebody told me it's not good.
It looks awful.
So wait a minute. So this unnamed person, who you can't remember now, who told you it wasn't
somebody
good.
On
is
the
that
Lakers.
Enough? Is that enough to steer you away from seeing the movie?
Well, I wasn't all gung ho about it anyway. But
the crazy thing is, he conducts. The conducting thing is the crazy thing. He is conducting an orchestra for real.
Didn't he direct it?
And he directed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's great. Emily just walked in and said, "Maestro sucks."
Oh yeah, maybe it was
Emily.
No, maybe it was Emily that told me it's terrible.
I'm canceling the Oscar preview show that Emily and I were going to do together on 710 ESPN.
Why? Because she doesn't like Maestro?
She's the one person that that follows this stuff like I do. I heard her all morning long trying to sneak in stuff from the Golden Globe. It was a fun show. So, John, the Dodgers over the weekend.
All right, can I make an honest admission?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this outfielder.
Oh, he's good.
Greg, had you heard of him?
Yes, of course.
We've been actually following this for a few days. The Dodgers have been in conversation with the agent for a guy named Teoscar Hernandez.
He ended up signing with the Dodgers. He's going to play left field for us. 1 year, $23.5 million. And guess what? He's deferring $8.5 million of it until after 2030. And he turned down multi-year deals to sign with the Dodgers. He's 31. Last year, he batted .258 with 26 homers and 93 RBIs. His career year was 4 years ago in Toronto, .296, 32 homers, 116 RBIs. And Jim Bowden says he will be the everyday left fielder with Manuel Margot and Jason Hayward platooning in right field. I think this is another huge grab for the Dodgers.
All right, let me ask what might be a dumb question. J.D. Martinez put up better numbers than this last year, but he can't play outfield,
right? No, does
right?
not play the
they
field.
Don't, yeah. They don't connect. Shohei Ohtani is your DH. J.D. Martinez is only a DH.
So he couldn't play outfield even if you wanted him to.
Correct.
Their whole joke in like Boston and other places was that he didn't even own a glove.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's just not his jam. But I'll tell you what, this is a great – now, I was playing with the lineup a little bit. How would you bat the top three, Mookie, Freddie, Ohtani? In that order or a different order?
Well, I would go to Ohtani and say, where do you want to hit, and then adjust around that.
I think Ohtani is usually the two spot, so I would go Mookie, Ohtani, Freddie.
Mookie, Ohtani, Freddie.
Yes.
And then I would assume Will Smith.
They might put Hernandez up there.
You think Hernandez could go straight to the cleanup spot?
He could
spot?
Go straight to the cleanup spot.
You know what? It's not impossible. Will Smith, Max Muncy, James Outman, either Margot or Hayward. And have we heard anything on Gavin Lux? Is he okay? Is he ready to go?
Yeah, he's supposed to be the everyday shortstop.
Now,
okay, and he's healthy.
Is the fact that they signed this guy, how do you pronounce his first name?
Teoscar.
Teoscar Hernandez mean that Kike Hernandez is probably not coming back?
Yes.
Probably not. I mean, I guess they could bring him back on a really small deal that is just to be a utility guy, but
right.
Where are you going to put him?
Well, you would use him as a backup to all these guys.
What about
Chris
Taylor?
He's kind of redundant with Chris Taylor.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
you
why
put him in the infield, you put him in the outfield. That's kind of the job you've got Chris Taylor doing.
You chose Chris Taylor over Kike Hernandez in the last offseason. That's the same kind of deal.
Right. Okay.
I'll tell you what, and I know we talked about that Sports Illustrated story last week with all the predictions, and five of the Sports Illustrated writers, if we were to believe they're real people, they said the biggest prediction for 2024 is that the Dodgers would not win the World Series.
Well, statistically, that prediction is accurate. Even the team with the highest payroll, I think, has won the World Series once since the turn of the century.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think it was like the 09 Yankees, the
wow.
one that had Teixeira and A-Rod and Jeter and all those guys. Every other year, some other team has won it. And, you know, I think we haven't had a repeat champion.
Since the Yankees in the early aughts.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to go back like 20 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, by the way, FanGraphs put out the projected wins for
2024. Oh, wait a minute. Is this the Pecota or is this?
No. This is FanGraphs projected
wins. Can I guess on the Dodgers?
Yes, guess on the Dodgers.
100 even.
I'm going to go 111.
The highest are the Braves with 98.
Okay.
The Dodgers are second. FanGraphs has them with 92 wins.
Oh, my God. That's FanGraphs, the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
FanGraphs says they brought in Shohei, Yamamoto, Glasnow, and lose 8 games.
Yeah, that's
just
a goofy-ass prediction.
Yeah, that must be based on the unreliability of the starting pitching. That's the only thing I can think of.
It's nonsense because the Rangers won the World Series, right?
Yep.
Where do you think they have FanGraphs has them winning?
Probably 90 games.
What about you, John?
85.
82.
Wow.
They say they're going to go from winning the World Series to 82 wins.
Yeah, I don't trust fans. You know what I do trust? I do trust when the Pecota standings come out. That's baseball perspective.
They're close.
They tend to nail it. But I think this Dodger team is 110 wins. And you know what? And it's going to be fun. It'll be a fun summer. And Ohtani will be there. It's going to be exciting all year long, all that stuff. But it's still going to come down to a crapshoot. You need those last 11 wins. And they haven't even been able to get the first three the last 2 years.
Right. And I can't tell you how the highest payroll is not indicative of who ends up winning it. That's a consistent thing in baseball. So you can't assume because the Dodgers went out. Yeah, I guess this is a long way of saying you can't buy the World Series outright. It doesn't mean they can't win it, but it doesn't. Even if they're the favorites, it doesn't mean they're going to win.
Can't buy it, but they've made an enormous down payment on winning it. All right, coming up next, going to spin the wheel of questions. It is a combo plate. I want to get to that national championship thing.
Yeah.
Because tonight, I have a strong...
We have the game?
Michigan, we do at 4:30.
Washington?
Yeah. I've got a very strong opinion on who's going to win tonight.
Okay.
So we'll do that coming up next for you, plus the wheel of questions. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend who has been dealing with loneliness. And honestly, loneliness is a crisis in America. A lot of people feeling that right now. And I am proud to be working with the L.A. Department of L.A. County Department of Mental Health on this project and this partnership. And one of the things that we've talked about is loneliness. And if you are lonely and if that leads to depression or if it's anxiety or you feel overwhelmed by everything coming at you, there are always resources that you can turn to with the L.A. Department of Mental Health. Now, I'll say the first thing you should do is tell whoever is closest to you what's going on so they know how to support you. Second thing, and if you need it, this is important, call the L.A. County Department of Mental Health helpline for free service referrals, crisis counseling. It is 24/7, 800-854-7771. That's 800-854-7771. You can also visit the website, dmh.lacounty.gov, dmh.lacounty.gov. The LA County Department of Mental Health is here for you. Hope, recovery, and well-being. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Ready? Here we go. John, if you could reach all your dreams, all your wishes come true.
Okay.
What would you do next?
Hmm.
All your wishes have come true. What do you do next?
Good question. I don't know I would change that much. I would retire. You probably would not.
No.
But I don't know where I would go.
Would you really retire?
Yeah.
Because isn't doing the Lakers one of your dreams?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'd retire from that job. I'm talking about the show.
yes. That
priorities.
That job I'll eventually be fired from.
No.
Everybody who's had that job has been fired from it. So it's just probably a matter of time. But that's good. I don't know. What would you do?
I think it can be summarized in one word: give. If I've got everything that I ever wanted in life, let me try to shift some of that stuff around and help
some other
people. Big tips and charitable donations and scholarships and all that kind of stuff. I think I would give.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. You have said many times before, this is somewhere where you and I disagree.
Yes.
You do not tip if the service is bad. If you had all that money, would you tip if the service is bad?
Still wouldn't. I'm a gigantic. By the way, you've given me such a bad rep on tip. I am, aside from service is bad,
right?
We're really good tippers.
Right.
Like,
but
we're over the top tippers.
But there are times, I have difficulty believing that there are times that you would not tip. I'll give you an example. The other night, Lisa and I went out to dinner, and I ordered a whiskey sour, and they brought me something other than that.
Uh-oh.
Okay, it wasn't even close.
Did you throw down your drink and storm out?
No. When the waitress came over, I said, hey, this isn't what I ordered. Can you just bring me an iced tea? And she felt bad, but she goes, are you sure? You don't want to give him another chance to make it? I go, no, I don't trust him. Just bring me the iced tea. And at the end of the night, I still tipped him 20%.
I would have tipped that normal. That's bad service. Fault that the bartender lined up the wrong drink.
That's bad service.
It's not the server's problem.
I'm
talking about grumpy and rude. The only times I've ever stiffed people are grumpy and rude. Sorry, your job is to be pleasant and accommodating, not grumpy and rude.
Bergman, so what would you do if you were set for life?
I think it's pretty easy for me. I would just go back to Hawaii. I'd lay on a beach. I'd be surfing. I'd be the greatest surfer ever. I would just chill in Hawaii and be happy. And by the way, Mace,
yeah,
what dreams haven't you realized?
That's a very good question. Wow, that's a very good question. What dreams
are you?
Have I not
aren't
realized?
You pretty happy? You're at the top of your career.
Yes.
You make a decent living. You have
I'm
a wonderful
a long-term
wand.
Relationship.
Yep. You have dogs.
Home. Yeah. Dogs.
So what haven't you realized?
You know, I just want my podcast to be an international sensation. I guess that's what it
is. How do you know it isn't already?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at YouTube. People like it. But
I'm sure the Philippines
are huge.
Yeah,
that would be my one thing is to grow the podcast into, you know, a gigantic thing. But I'm never, I mean, until they lock the door or until my key card stops working, I am going to be at ESPN LA every day.
Well, not
today. I love that job. But you're right, Bergman. There's not a great deal that I don't feel like I've accomplished. What about you? You would just go to Hawaii?
I would go, yeah, I'd go to Hawaii. I'd hang out. I would just love my life. I'd bring Riley and just have a wonderful life.
Laura, how about you?
And yeah, I'd quit.
You would quit?
Yeah, I'd retire. If I had all the money and all that, I'd retire and be happy.
Brian, how about you?
I'm right there with Greg. I was first thought was, yep, let me just kick back, beach chair, ooh, Corona in hand, kind of like the commercials, you know, just boom, retire, live out there on a little hut in the sand.
Laura, if you had everything you wanted in life, what's your next move?
Everything I wanted in life. Definitely I would be a millionaire. So I would give back a lot. Like, I want to open a nonprofit. Like, that would be one of the biggest things for me.
What would the nonprofit focus on?
So it would focus. No, not dogs. I mean, I love dogs, but no, not dogs. It would focus on rehabilitation, homeless population, and introducing them back into society.
Good idea.
So that would be one of the biggest things for me. And I want to travel and I want to shop. So aside from that, yeah. That's what
cool.
I would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't. There are not a lot. We're very lucky people. There are not a lot of things that we haven't accomplished, I guess, at this. But John, you've accomplished everything.
Getting there. Gotta, you know,
you're top of your game.
I'm getting there, but I don't know if part of kind of like growing older is finding new things that interest you.
Yeah.
So you never know where the road's going to turn. You know.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
20 years ago, all I was doing was, you know, going to bars and playing pickup basketball, and now I don't really do either one of those.
All right, so a national championship game tonight.
Yeah, so I'm curious if
you made a big bet.
Yeah, Greg, well, how much should I bet? I'm taking Washington in the points. How much should I bet?
You took 10K, Washington plus 5.5.
Okay. So, Mace, are you on the same side as me or the other side?
You know, I despise Jim Harbaugh.
Right. I think this is Jim Harbaugh's last day as the coach at
me
the
too.
University of Michigan.
And I'm pretty sure he's going to win tonight. You know, the one thing I...
Well, why don't you, instead of me betting 10 grand mythical money, why don't you and I just bet 10 grand?
Okay, let's bet straight up.
Yeah.
Can we do that, Bergman?
Yes, you can. So what, that gives you...
That gives him Michigan, and he's giving me four and a half.
Yeah,
and then
I
get 5.5. Okay,
yes.
Fair enough.
So here's the thing about Michigan. They're going to run the hell out of the football. They run on almost 56% of their plays. The Washington Huskies are number 72 in the nation in run defense grade. And they are especially bad, bottom 10, in zone read runs. Meanwhile, last week they sacked Jalen Milroe seven times. They blitzed him on, what is this? They blitzed him on 57% of his dropbacks. And they dropped him on his ass a total of seven times. I think Michigan is going to win this game tonight, and I think they're going to win it handily.
I think Michael Penix is a lot better than Jalen Milroe. I don't think he'll hold on to the ball that long. He is a deadly accurate passer.
He's great.
And if those receivers, they have three NFL receivers on their team. If those receivers get open, here's where I'll agree with you. If this turns into a slog, if Michigan runs 80% of the time and they keep the score down, I think Michigan wins.
Right.
If each team scores more than 20 points, I think Washington wins.
You know, the other weird dynamic here is Michigan has obviously been under a microscope all year long. Harbaugh was suspended for, three games at the beginning, three games at the end, something like that. I think that this Michigan team has got a real us-against-the-world mentality, which has carried them this far. It's like, oh, yeah? You want to mess with our coach? You want to mess with our program? You want innuendo about stuff we might not and might have and might not done? We are all here for it, and we're going to kick some ass. It's almost like they're the outsiders, the team that is under constant duress this year, and I feel like that sort of bonded them together in a weird way.
Right. What popped into my head when you were describing that was that year that Ray Lewis was on trial for his role in a murder.
Yes.
And everybody said, the Ravens can never win. There's too much hanging over their heads. And then they just rolled everybody and won the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe there's a little of that going on.
Yeah. Bergman, who you like tonight?
So I like Michigan, but it's mostly because I really like Michael Penix. I think he's a great quarterback. He's going to be a really good pro. I think every time I watch him, he throws these beautiful passes that his receivers are right there for. However, if you have a good cornerback, I think it's going to get picked off. A lot of times it goes through the defender's hands or it's just going just over their hands. So if he gets picked off a couple times, which I think is very possible in this game, I think Michigan wins.
Where do you guys think Jim Harbaugh is a year from now?
So hot in here.
He is going to be the head coach of the Raiders.
Yeah.
I just saw that.
Love that.
Too.
Well, it makes sense, and here's why. Don Yee is Tom Brady's agent.
Yep.
Brady is, of course, a Michigan guy, and he owns part of the Raiders. Brady went out and bought a small piece of the Raiders from Mark Davis. So why do you hire Don Yee? You could have hired anybody. I think that the Raiders are in play here. I think it's the Raiders or, Brian, it's your Chargers. I think one of those two. I don't think the Bears are going to fire Matt Eberflus. I don't think the Cowboys are going to fire Mike McCarthy. I think it's down to those two for Harbaugh. I don't think Atlanta steps up.
Can I just ask you a question about Matt Eberflus for just a second? I heard it on the morning show this morning. I thought it was a really good point. Do you think if the Bears next year, they bring in Caleb Williams and they have a bad year, does Eberflus get fired?
Yes.
If that's the case, why not fire him now?
Well, because he might have a great year next
year. You see what I'm saying, though? If you're willing to move off of him next year with a bad year, which is always possible with a rookie quarterback, then why allow Caleb Williams to come in with and have two different head coaches in 2 years? Wouldn't you just get rid of him now?
Well, but if you did, why wouldn't you bring in Lincoln Riley?
Well, you can.
Yeah.
I think if you're willing to get rid of Eberflus next year, you should get rid of him now. And not allow Caleb Williams to have two coaches
Ireland,
in
2 years.
You're
on Lincoln Riley to NFL head coach after what he's been doing?
Well, what he's really good at is developing quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be a good offensive coordinator. I don't think he's ready to be an NFL head coach.
Right, but a lot of NFL head coaches, like Sean McVay, doesn't spend a lot of time on the defense. He lets Raheem Morris handle the defense. That's what you do with Lincoln Riley.
I don't think he's running the program well at USC. Why would he run the overall overarching program better with the Bears?
I don't necessarily think he would, but I think if you look at what he was able to do with Baker Mayfield, what he was able to do with Kyler Murray, what he was able to do with Jalen Hurts, what he was able to do with Lincoln Riley or with Caleb Williams, I think Lincoln Riley plus a good quarterback means success. Now, if you're counting on him to pay attention to the defense, then don't. I mean, because he doesn't.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. Definitely not. By the way, according to Bleacher Report, there is mutual interest between the Raiders and current Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh wants to return to the NFL and has a lot of interest in the Chargers vacancy as well. There is a slew of internal support for Antonio Pierce, whom Mark Davis really likes, but Harbaugh is at or near the top of his list. I don't think there's any way Antonio Pierce gets that job.
Either do I, and I certainly hope he doesn't get it. I think he's Coach O. I think he's a guy that had some good wins, but bottom line, he was a 500 coach and lost a game 3-0, an NFL game 3-0. I just think that guys like Antonio Pierce are really easy to find.
Yeah. Plus, Jim Harbaugh is kind of an a-hole, and the Raiders are outlaws, and that part of it makes sense, too.
Right.
All right, coming up next for you, going to do some What's Up, Fool. Remember, it's a combo plate today, so it's us till 3, and then we've got Shadano and Cappy back from vacation. Big day, National Championship Day. We'll have the game for you at 4:30. Rams going to meet the Lions on Sunday night as they punched their ticket yesterday for the 6th seed, beating the San Francisco 49ers. This is the home of the Rams, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
If you listen to the show, you know that I'm super into cryotherapy. As you get older, your muscles and your joints tend to get sore the more active you are. Now, if you're like me, you pay $50 to $75 to go to a cryo place. You jump in there for 3 minutes. You feel better when you come out. IcePod Active has discovered a better way to ice. Go to this website, icepodactive.com. IcePodActive.com. When you go there, you'll see Hall of Famer James Worthy. You'll see a testimonial from a doctor. It'll answer all your questions. What IcePod Active is wearable cryotherapy. They have compression shirts and pants that you fill with ice cold gel packs. I put this shirt on for 20 minutes, and it's just like me going to a cryo session. Every time I wear my IcePod Active shirt, my lower back, my upper back, my elbows, everything feels better. And it could do the same for you. Look into that website. Look into the what it costs and compare it to what it costs if you're going to a cryo place 3 times a week. You'll save thousands of dollars, literally. Go to icebodactive.com. icebodactive. Icebodactive.com. Check it out. Try wearable cryotherapy. I hope it helps you as much as it's helped me. Icebodactive.com.